We're not going to have a PowerPoint lesson this morning, but we are going to be looking at Psalm 6. And so you got your PowerPoint right in front of you, hopefully this morning. You brought your Bible with you, and you can open that up and you can look at Psalm 6 and follow along with us, because we're going to be doing a verse by verse study of this Psalm this morning. And this Psalm is a prayer of the afflicted, prayer of the afflicted. Let's read the psalm together, and then we will talk about its content. O Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger, nor chasten me in your hot displeasure. Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are troubled. My soul also is greatly troubled. But you, O Lord, how long? Return, O Lord, deliver me. O, save me for your mercy's sake. For in death there is no remembrance of you. In the grave, who will give you thanks? I am weary with my groaning. All night I make my bed swim. I drench my couch with my tears. My eye wastes away because of grief. It grows old because of all my enemies. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity, for the Lord has heard the voice of my weeping. The Lord has heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer. Let all my enemies be ashamed and greatly troubled. Let them turn back and be ashamed suddenly. You know, this is a psalm that was uttered in a time of affliction. And the psalmist here is expressing concern with some kind of physical sickness that he has. And it seems to me that that is what this psalm is about. Prayer in physical sickness. And you know, that's something that we deal with on a regular basis. We're not sick every day of our life, but there are times when we become sick and we can feel that sickness all the way in our bones. And so we should readily be able to understand, you know, what the psalmist is talking about here. But there are other times when we're not physically sick, but we may be spiritually sick and mentally sick, where we have grief or we have trouble in life or there are problems and deep problems that affect us greatly, and that affects us in a physical way as well. And so this psalm is for all of those who are afflicted. The psalmist says that he is withered away, his bones are troubled, and he wants to know, and this seems to be the burning question of this psalm, does God stand with us when we are most vulnerable? Does God stand with us when we are most vulnerable? Well, as we read this psalm, we have four things. We have a prayer. This psalm is basically a prayer in time of illness. And he is asking God, number one, for mercy. Number two, for deliverance. Number three, to understand his grief. And number four, to receive his prayer. So let's look at this psalm this morning. First of all, Psalm 6 is a prayer of mercy. In verse 1, we say, O Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger, nor chasten me in your hot displeasure. And you might wonder, well, why is the psalmist referring to God's anger and displeasure here? Because I think that it's very common for us to think that when we're suffering or when we're afflicted or when we have troubles, it's very common for us to think, well, God must be angry with me, or God must not be happy with me for some reason. And whether or not that's true or not, we don't really know. But that's an emotion that we feel. And that's something that the psalmist is expressing as well. He's feeling that. He's feeling that God is upset with him. He's feeling that God's not happy with him. And whether his feeling is right or not is really beside the point. This psalm is acknowledging our very human thoughts, our very human way of feeling and thinking. And so he is asking God to be merciful to him. And maybe it's the case that this psalmist has done something to offend the Lord. We don't know whether he has or not. But he is asking God for mercy. Whether he has or has not, he still wants God's mercy. God is a just God, the Bible teaches. And he teaches us that he is, the Bible teaches us, however, that he is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness and truth. Psalm 86 and verse 15. And we know that God does not want anyone to perish, but rather that he has been abundantly merciful and gracious to us in providing everything that we need for this life and for life to come. John 3 and verse 16 still says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And John 3 and verse 36 says, "He that believeth on the Son has eternal life, but he that obeyeth not the Son shall not see life." The wrath of God is real. We don't want to diminish it. We don't want to take away from it. We don't want to think about it as if God is not angry with the wicked. But when we feel ourselves under our own judgment, standing before God and thinking, maybe I have done something that I shouldn't have done, it's not necessarily the case that we're suffering because of our own sins. You know, the book of Job teaches that very clearly. God's anger, God's wrath is reserved for the wicked, for the sinful, the Bible teaches us. And this psalmist, although he asks God not to rebuke him in his anger or chasten him in his hot displeasure, it's not necessarily the case that he has done anything worthy of that in the sense of this physical sickness that's come upon him. But you see, that's how we think sometimes. That's how we reason about things. And it's always appropriate to ask for God's mercy and love because God is gracious and he's willing to give it and he wants to give it. But the psalmist starts this psalm this way, in a very real way, in a very honest way, in a way that says, you know, this is what I'm feeling, this is how I'm thinking, and so please have mercy on me. But he also asks God for mercy from the physical pain that he's experiencing here. Verse 2, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are troubled." He asks for mercy and he asks for healing. And that is something that we can certainly ask God for when we have sickness and when we have affliction within our lives. You know, God sometimes heals and sometimes he doesn't heal. You know, the Bible does not promise us that every time we ask for healing that God is going to heal us. And that was even true during the time of miracles. In fact, the apostle Paul himself had some kind of physical infirmity that bothered him tremendously. He talks about it in 2 Corinthians 12 and verses 8 and 9. He says, "Concerning this thing, I besought the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my weaknesses," Paul says, "that the power of Christ may be upon me." This thorn in the flesh that Paul had, it was some kind of physical ailment, some kind of sickness or disease or something that afflicted him on a daily basis. And yet, God did not heal him of this affliction. God wanted the Apostle Paul to be content with his grace that he gave him in reference to his spiritual self, not his physical self. Another example is Trophimus in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 20, a companion of the Apostle Paul. It says, Erastus remained at Corinth, but Trophimus I left at Miletus sick. So here was one who was sick. The Apostle Paul had the ability to heal, but for some reason, God did not choose to heal this particular individual. But sometimes God does answer prayer of healing. We see, for example, in Philippians 2 and verse 27, the case of Epaphroditus. And Epaphroditus is one who was sick and near unto death. There's no indication that he was healed miraculously, but he was restored. It says, for indeed he was sick near unto death, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, that I might not have sorrow upon sorrow. Philippians 2 and verse 27. And so, Psalm 6 is a prayer of mercy. It's asking God for mercy, for dealing with the thoughts that we have sometimes when we are sick, and dealing with our physical pain as well. Yes, sometimes God does not heal us, but sometimes God does. And it's within His power, and it's within His grace and mercy to do that, according to His holy and divine will. And we can always trust that God knows what is best for us in those circumstances, and that there's a reason for why we either are healed or are not healed. There's always a reason, and God knows it. Psalm 6 is a prayer of mercy. But Psalm 6 is also a prayer of deliverance. And primarily, the psalmist is asking to be delivered from the emotional pain that he is experiencing here. Notice verse 3. My soul also is greatly troubled, but you, O Lord, how long? His soul is greatly troubled. His life, his feelings are troubled. That's what he's talking about here. He asks the Lord, how long am I going to experience this? How long do I have to suffer? You know, that is something that many ask when they're feeling sick and when they experience great trouble within their life. How long is this going to go on? And again, this psalm is very real. It's telling us how it is, you know, how people really feel and think. And God wants us to know these things. He wants us to look at these things and process these things. God is the God of reality. He doesn't want us to set forth, you know, false platitudes and untimely comforts that don't really deal with the real situation at hand. He wants us to face up to whatever it is that we're going through, and He wants us to endure it as He then provides for us within our life and as our faith grows in Him. And you know, this is tough, but God's love is tough love. And God's words are sometimes tough words. And so when we look at this psalm, and we look at this psalmist who's obviously grieving, he's obviously very sick, and he's troubled with this, we get insight into how God knows every single part about us and every single thing that's happening. In 2 Corinthians 7, verses 5 and 6, the Apostle Paul again expresses some thoughts about emotional trouble. He says, for indeed, when we came to Macedonia, our bodies had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Outside were conflicts. Inside were fears. Now just stop right there and think about that for a minute. Here's Paul. He's out preaching the gospel. He's doing the Lord's will. He's a man of peace. He goes into these communities, and those who are opposed to his message stir up hatred and strife and trouble against him, even seek to to kill him in some places. Outside were conflicts, and inside were fears. You know, sometimes we look at Paul, the apostle, and other Bible characters, and we think, how could they be so brave? How could they be so rugged? How could they have such grit? You know, and Paul is confessing to us right here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, hey, I didn't always feel that way. Inside were fears. We were afraid, just like everybody else is afraid. Paul was afraid. And yet, he says this next in verse 6. Nevertheless, God, who comforts the downcast, comforted us by the coming of Titus. And that's such an interesting expression, because God comforts us in a lot of ways, and sometimes we don't even recognize those ways. But Titus came to them, and something that Titus did, or something that Titus said, or maybe just Titus' presence, comforted Paul in the circumstances that he was in. So the psalmist prays for deliverance, deliverance from his own emotions, but then also deliverance from death. Verses 4 and 5, he's very fearful that whatever this sickness is that he has, it is going to take his life, and his life is going to end. Notice what he says here in verses 4 and 5. Return, O Lord, deliver me. O, save me for your mercy's sake. For in death there is no remembrance of you. In the grave, who will give you thanks? We have to be careful as we read the thoughts of the psalmist. You know, sometimes the thoughts of the psalmist reflect the psalmist's own subjective point of view, not necessarily what God's point of view is, okay? And the psalm sometimes can reflect feelings and emotions and things that we think and experience that are different from what how God sees things in this world. But the psalmist is saying something here that's very personal and very emotional. He prays for deliverance. He knows the Lord can deliver him. He asks the Lord to save him for his mercy's sake. And then he says this statement in verse 5. For in death there is no remembrance of you. In the grave, who will give you thanks? And we ask, what does he mean by that? What is he saying by that? Is he saying that there's no hope for life after death? I don't believe that's what he's saying here. I think that what he's saying is that now, in this life, this is the time to praise and worship God while we have the opportunity to make that choice. And he's acknowledging that fact. He's acknowledging the truth that, you know, I have the choice now to worship and praise God. And in the future, after death, you know, things are going to be different. And I may not have that choice anymore, but I have it now. And so now I want to remember you. Now I want to give you thanks. And if I die, then that opportunity is taken away from me. You know, the Bible says that God can deliver us if we will put our faith and trust in Him. God is a God of deliverances. Psalm 68 and verse 20 says, unto the Lord Yahweh belongs escape from death. And so the Bible specifically says that God can provide for us in that way. But notice Proverbs 11 and verse 19. He that is steadfast in righteousness shall attain life, and he that pursueth evil doeth it to his own death. You know, generally speaking, in a very general way, there is righteousness, which leads to life, and there is evil, which leads to death. But the Bible also says that it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27. And so as long as life exists, as long as God allows this world to turn, we're going to have to deal with death. And even our own death is coming one day. And so the psalmist prays for deliverance from death. The psalmist also prays a prayer of grief. Notice this picture of grief in verses 6 and 7. He says, I am weary with my groaning. All night I make my bed swim. I drench my couch with my tears. My eye wastes away because of grief. It grows old because of all my enemies. Notice the different aspects of grief that are presented in this verse. There is exhaustion. There is lack of sleep. There is sadness and pain. There is numbness. And there is enmity, the feeling that enemies are surrounding him on all sides. See, God sees our griefs and our sorrows. He knows what those things are, and he understands. Jesus said in Luke chapter 12 and verses 6 and 7, are not five sparrows sold for two pennies, and not one of them is forgotten in the sight of God, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, you are of more value than many sparrows. And in Psalm 139 verses 1 through 3 we read, O Lord, you have searched me and know me. You know my downsitting and my uprising. You understand my thought afar off. You search out all my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all of my ways. God knows everything that we go through and he understands. And that is why Peter would write in 1 Peter 5 and verse 7, casting all your cares upon him because he cares for you. And then finally in this psalm, we see that the psalmist has great confidence that the Lord will receive his prayer. Look at what he says in verses 8 and 9 and 10. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity, for the Lord has heard the voice of my weeping. The Lord has heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer. Let all my enemies be ashamed and greatly troubled. Let them turn back and be ashamed suddenly. You know, in spite of the enemy, God receives our prayer. It's because of the intensity of our suffering, God receives our prayer. Because of our persistence, God receives our prayer. Because we ask, God receives our prayer. Because we have faith, God receives our prayer. God hears and answers our prayers. And the psalmist is very confident of that. He knows that. And we should be confident of that as well. For the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears open unto their supplication. 1 Peter 3 and verse 12. Mark 11 and verse 24 says, all things whatsoever you pray and ask for, believe that you shall receive them, and you shall have them. And Proverbs 16 and verse 7 says this, when a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. And that's the kind of prayer the psalmist is praying. A prayer of mercy, a prayer of deliverance, a prayer of grief, but a prayer that is received by God. And ultimately, the great lesson from this psalm is this. No matter what we're feeling, no matter what we're thinking, no matter what kind of thoughts go through our head, no matter how we think God may be angry with us or our enemies may be against us, whatever paranoia comes our way, whatever fears enter our heart, whatever difficulty we're going through, whatever we're suffering, if we pray to God, he will hear. And that is something that we can be confident in at all times. God doesn't always answer our prayers in the way that we want, but God does respond to our prayers in the way that he knows we need. And in that, we can be confident and we can be sure. And maybe your prayer is a prayer to God this morning for help. Maybe your prayer is a prayer for mercy and grace Or maybe your prayer is a prayer of grief. Whatever your prayer is, God will receive your prayer. But we need to understand something as well. God wants us to pray in faith. And God wants us to act on faith. He wants us to live by faith. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. And when we believe God's word, having heard that word, listen to his message of repentance, and we confess Jesus as our Lord and Savior and are baptized in the watery grave of baptism, you know, we become one with Jesus Christ. We become part of his body, which is the church. We come into a very special relationship with God, a relationship that people in the world do not have. And that relationship is something that God says, you are my child, and I am looking out for you very specifically and very specially. You know, I want that relationship with God, and I hope you want that relationship as well. And maybe this morning you would like to have that relationship with God, a relationship where you can talk to him and he will hear you. And if you need to respond to the Lord's invitation this morning, we urge you to do so while together we stand and while we sing.